This week, we'll look back on AFGE's leadership conference with Department of Defense Local 2077 President John Siminski and Executive Vice President Daryl Hubbard. We'll also learn about the impact of the government shutdown with Congressman John Sarbanes. But first, we've been joined by former Clinton White House spokesman Bob Wiener. Bob, welcome back.
Jason, it's a pleasure to be with you. You always bring out the best issues, and I always look forward to this kind of an interview with you.
Bob, the federal government has reopened after a 16-day shutdown. What is your analysis of the situation?
Well, Jason, the Republicans lost 20 points to the Democrats and now could lose the House if Americans remember. A year's a long time. It cost $25 billion, according to Standard & Poor's, and stopped Head Start kids and cancer treatments for the elderly, let alone paying the feds retroactively while stopping workers from their jobs. And as all knew from the start, it accomplished nothing. So what happened was the Republicans, as Charles E. Krauthammer, the conservative columnist, said, it was a suicide caucus. And it was really a tragedy. Ann Coulter and all of Fox are saying the shutdown was magnificent, which is a reminder of Karl Rove's 2012 election analysis past the end when even Fox had called it for Obama. So I just don't get it. Obama is being blamed for all ills, and the Republicans are trying to get away with that. And all they really want to do, Jason, and all of this to stop the American people from getting health insurance and keeping the insurance companies in charge. All of this for that. It was an outrage.
Bob, you were on the Hill with leaders the day of the vote. What was the feeling there whenever things were shaping up?
Well, it was a complete waste of time. I talked to Grijalva, for example, the chair of the Progressive Caucus, Congressman Grijalva. What is he, New Mexico, Arizona? I forget which of the two, but Grijalva. And he said that it wasn't going to be fun that night. He'll go and do his job, and he'll do the vote, but it wasn't going to be fun. He had predicted that there would be 40 Republican votes. There actually were 80-some Republican votes, but still, there were over 120 Republican votes to keep the government shut down. So everybody thought it was an incredible waste of time. And Congressman John Conyers, the dean of the Congressional Black Caucus from Michigan, who I worked for 6 years before I went over to the Clinton White House, he was really outraged and thought that what they did to stop health care was unconscionable, Jason. So there was a mood among the entire Democratic caucus, 80 courageous Republicans, and then a split of the Senate that their party caused a horrific waste of time and cost $25 billion. So there was a mood of disbelief that we had to go through this one more time. And not only that, but I went through the shutdown the last time when it was a complete waste of time, when Gingrich and Clinton were at loggerheads. And it was one of the contributing factors that cost Gingrich his speakership. So there's a real possibility because of this. There's an upbeat mood, which Conyers said to me, that it's amazing how stupid the Republicans are to put themselves in this position. But they have done it. Now, Jason, the danger is they will try to soften. They will try to make believe this didn't happen, unless Cruz and crew and the Ann Coulters of the world keep forcing them into it. But they will try to make believe this didn't happen and try to talk about how moderate they are, the same way that Mitt Romney tried to get away with that after he went swung to the right during the primaries and then tried to swing back to the middle in the general election. They will try that. A year is a long time. But the American people didn't let Romney get away with it, given his 47% comments. And I am hopeful that we are smart enough to do the sound bites of what they did to themselves and to actually show the American people the disaster for federal workers trying to do their jobs and for the American people trying to get the benefits that government does provide. You know, the thing, let me just diverge for one second. What excited me most, maybe, about, in a positive way, about the shutdown was Obama's welcome back. When he talked about the importance of federal workers, and he talked about the incredible job and the importance to young people of being involved in government. Thank God we have a president who understands that and made that message as this horrific thing ended.
Bob, you, of course, mentioned the previous shutdown, which you were a part of. At that time, how did that one compare to this one?
Well, it was about the same. That one was actually longer. It was about twice as long. This one, was a little over 2 weeks. That one was a little over a month. So, and by the way, that one was in pieces. It happened once, and then it happened again, and you added up the two of them, the last one. So this one, the last one did not impact the debt ceiling of the United States. It did not talk about the entire world economy being at stake. It was the U.S. economy. This one was worse because the entire world economy tied into the debt ceiling was at stake. And that made it an even more terrible kind of an action by the Republicans. An inane one. You don't get elected to Congress so that you can stop what the Congress does. Your job is to run the government. If you want to fix the government, that's one thing. But you don't destroy the place. You don't burn down the house to fix it.
You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, and we're here with Bob Wiener, a former Clinton White House spokesman. Bob, you mentioned the world economy being at stake during this most recent shutdown. How did the shutdown affect our nation's standing in the international community?
Well, between the shutdown and NSA spying on world leaders when they come to our summits, Jason, I'm outraged by that, too. It's a separate subject. But the shutdown really cost respect. China was able to say, why should we even use the dollar as the base of the world economy, let alone the fact that we owe them $1 trillion? We got to stop that somehow, too. It was terrible for the United States' prestige. It put in doubt our rating, and the rating agencies said that the United States should be considered at risk until they solve their budget issue. And we did solve it, but by the skin of our teeth. And in fact, not even when you look at the fact that Obama signed the bill at 12:07 after midnight, the vote, and I was there, it was 10:30 p.m. In the House, and by the time the paperwork got sent over to the White House, it was actually, the press never reported this, past midnight when Obama signed the bill. So we technically didn't meet the deadline, although there was a lot of play going on. CBO said that there was actually 5 more days that we could have done, and no press picked that up. So whether we were or weren't fighting a deadline at midnight that night, I think both sides wanted to use that deadline as a way to finally pass this thing and do it in what they called on time. So, but the technicalities were not clear.
Bob, we know this most recent deal funds the government through January 15th. At current sequestration levels, and also extends the debt limit until February 7th.
Right.
What can we expect in the weeks ahead approaching these deadlines?
Attacks on Social Security and Medicare as Democrats, moderate and right-wing Democrats, try to strike deals. I'm very concerned about that. If we want to put our heads together on anything, it's going to be the fact that Social Security and Medicare, Jason, have stopped the poverty of the elderly from being at 75% to being 6%. And I give Rachel Maddow credit for saying it was the most successful social program in the history of the country, into doing that little, 15-second ad that they do as a promo to point that out. And I've done op-eds in the Miami Herald and Palm Beach Post and across the board on the fact that we should leave Social Security alone, hands off Social Security. The same goes for Medicare, which has now added 10 years of solvency. They don't even impact the budget. People don't realize that. I raised that in a White House news conference where I'm cleared in because of the national columns that we do. And by the way, I'd invite our readers to go to www.wienerpublic.com, WEINERPUBLIC.com, and look at the columns. But the point is that Social Security doesn't count on the budget. Medicare doesn't count on the budget. Social Security's trust fund, which seniors have paid in. Try telling some bank they don't owe you the money that you've paid in. I don't understand how Republicans try to make that argument that the money's not there when seniors have given the money to the federal government and it's thereby owed back to seniors. Social Security is solvent for 20 more years, Medicare for 10 more years. Therefore, the budget deals that we're going to strike, none of them is conceivably more than 10 years downstream, won't even be impacted one penny by Social Security and Medicare unless the feds steal the money from Social Security and Medicare's upstream solvency and use it to pay the tax breaks for the rich, which are still mostly in place. That's what might happen. And that's the deal that they're trying to strike. So when you hear about chain CPI, let's stop the cost of living a little bit for seniors, or when you hear more payments by Medicare recipients, what you pay when you go to the doctor, pay a little more cost sharing, all that means is you're giving to the rich. That's all it means. And be very, very careful of that.
Bob, part of the debate that led to this most recent shutdown was the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare. This is something that you have stayed on top of over the years. Talk to me first about where we are in the implementation process.
Well, I agree. We've had a total mess up on the website. But what you do is you fix it. And by bringing in experts and some of the top ones that Obama has now just brought in to fix it, and he's livid. He can't get rid of Sebelius because the Republicans would never allow a replacement, so we're stuck with her. But nonetheless, we can fix the website. So I don't mind, Jason, if we add the time until it's fixed for no penalty. But there have still been 500,000 successful applications, 20 million hits. But I wouldn't be surprised, and no media has picked up on this, if the Koch brothers' money was used to have people jam and disable the website, putting in a lot of people that didn't really want it. That's not yet been in the media, except for the fact that the Koch brothers have spent money against Obamacare. The Republicans are trying everything they can to put insurers back in charge and stop the added benefits of pre-existing conditions, seniors, drugs, lifetime coverage, kids on your plans, prevention including mammograms and birth control, and the 80% requirement of actual benefits, not overhead. Women no longer higher premiums than men. And as the president said, you can call that number, which is, I'll give it to our readers, to our listeners, 800-318-2596, or you can apply in person. We've had the lowest health care cost increases in 50 years, the last 3 years since the act was signed, and half the states have allowed the Medicaid expansion. That's the big deal that Jim Clyburn is the only one who recognized and said that's actually a public option that we've got in the bill. And even some of the most partisan Republican governors like Rick Scott from Florida, Jan, remember, Wag the Finger Brewer from Arizona, John Kasich from Ohio, the former OMB director, have approved the increase in Medicaid because their hospitals need the 100% federal funding for 3 years, which then goes to 90% federal funding. So there is an enormous amount positive that's happening, but there are so many opponents that just because of vile opposition to Obama, candidly, Jason, because he's not a Caucasian president, I'll say that out loud, the vile opposition to him is just outrageous. And they have, as the Washington Post said, they're blaming Obamacare for all ills. And so that's what we have to go against. We've got to fix the website. And I've heard a little bit of tweaks on legislative proposals now that say that, okay, allow the no penalty to kick in a little later by the amount of time until the website's fixed. I'm not against that. That's a technical fix. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Bob, how concerned are you that the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare debates resurface as we approach these new deadlines in January and February?
Well, the Republicans are trying everything that they can to do that, because if you look at the contributions to Republicans, and I've looked at Ted Cruz, I mean, a lot of his insurers in the health industry, that's where their money comes from. So they're going to try everything they can because it roils up the base. But you know what? There's an impossibility here. The Supreme Court has ruled it's constitutional. The Democrats have 60 votes. Well, they have 54 now votes in the Senate. The Republicans do not have what they need, which would be to be able to get two-thirds to get to override a veto. The president is in charge for 2 years, and the bill is kicking in. So it's not going to happen. It's simply not going to happen. I'm a little concerned that there might be some technical fixes that the court imposes. I am worried about some of the tax issues and some of the liabilities, the fact that the story that is in the Washington Post now of the fact that you have a disparity between tax subsidies on people from the states that have the plans versus the ones that don't have the plans, the exchanges and the feds kick in. You can't have that kind of disparity and discrimination. So the first court ruled. I don't know how that ruling will keep going, but and whether it'll go to the Supreme Court or not. That stay tuned on that one. And the administration is going to have to figure out how to cope with that.
Bob, as we close out here, I just want to get your sense for the feelings that you have as a former federal employee who's been through a shutdown, seeing this happen all over again, and the true impact on federal employees being put in the middle of all this.
Well, I am so proud of the president for saying, welcome back and thanks for all you do. To put federal employees in, and then the obvious that they had to do, because federal employees give so much that they had to pay them retroactively, and they did that in the middle before the shutdown was even over. It's just hypocrisy to shut down the government, stop federal employees from doing their jobs and servicing people, seniors and cancer treatment and roads and bridges, and by the way, stopping the funding for roads and bridges, which they've done in addition. That cost a million jobs. That's one reason why we're not down to below 6% unemployment, even though we're down to 7.2. But federal employees give so much, Jason, and they've chosen to do it. And if you compare the salaries that you get in the federal government versus the private sector, you would make so much more in the private sector. So when they try to say, take away the health insurance benefits from federal employees, you're stealing their salaries. That's a benefit that that they deserve, and there's no reason not to give it to federal employees. I am just tired of federal employees being the bash points for Republicans in Congress. It is an outrage to do that to the people who have given to their fellow man by wanting to do everything they can for their country. That's the reason that most people join federal service.
Former Clinton White House spokesman Bob Wiener. Bob, great to have you back on the show today. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Jason, so much.
You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, available on demand at InsideGovernmentRadio.com. I'm your host, Jason Fornicola, and up next, we'll continue our government shutdown discussion with Congressman John Sarbanes.